Welcome to Focus on the Upstate, a program dedicated to informing you about organizations that serve our community and how you can get involved with them. Here's your host, Chris Evans.
Good morning and welcome to Focus on the Upstate, a pre-recorded production of Entercom Communications. My name is Chris Evans and this is episode 25 of the COVID Chronicles. Today, my guest is Andrea Smith, the Executive Director of Senior Action. Good morning, Andrea.
Good morning, Chris. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you for asking. And yourself?
I'm hanging in there.
Yeah, well, isn't everyone these days?
Yeah, that's exactly right.
It's about all you can do. I'm going to start with the question that I frequently ask my guests, which is, what do you do and who do you do it for? I think with a name like Senior Action, it might be obvious to some people, but for those who are unfamiliar with your organization, let us know who you are and what you do.
Well, you know, it's a great question, actually, Chris, because a lot of people think they know what we do, but we actually are much more complicated than people realize.
You know, I've found that about some organizations.
Yeah. So, you know, Senior Action, as our name implies, we do a lot of things for seniors, and we define senior as anybody who's 55 and up. And we have, you know, pretty much a variety of services for them. Our main, what we're mostly known for, is that we have 8 activity centers throughout Greenville County. And at those centers, people can participate in a wide variety of activities and programs. We serve lunch every day. We offer transportation services. But we also provide a huge range of services for folks at their home. For instance, we have a medical transportation program. We have a lawn service program where we help people maintain their yards. We also own a affordable housing apartment complex that's for seniors. And so, you know, we kind of have our finger on the pulse of what our community needs when it comes to the senior population. And we just try to step into that space wherever we need it. So we do a lot of things. We serve about close to 5,000 people every year through all these programs. And so we're busy.
And what's the area that you cover here in the Upstate?
We're focused on Greenville County.
Okay.
Yeah, you can find a center, you know, pretty much, we're pretty spread all the way from up in Slater Marietta all the way down to Simpsonville. We have several, you know, in the middle of the county area. We have centers out in Greer. So again, we try very hard to be accessible to people close to where they live and in their community. That's kind of where we try to place those centers.
Fair enough. Now, our broadcast range is larger than just Greenville County. For people who are in neighboring counties, do you refer them to other agencies, or how do you handle that?
We do. And we have some great, I'll call them sister organizations. We have some great organizations in Spartanburg, Anderson, Oconee. We're part of a 6-county region called the Appalachia Area Region. And we have organizations in those other counties that do similar things. We're all slightly different and offer different services, but you can find some of the same kinds of things at those locations.
Okay, too. So just for the folks listening that may be in Spartanburg or Lawrence or Oconee counties, you know, any of the other, or even up in North Carolina, our broadcast reaches up into North Carolina, you can refer them. We're going to be talking about Greenville County, obviously, with Senior Action and Andrea today, but you can still get in touch with them and find resources for your locale.
Yes, absolutely. There is some services for seniors like what we offer pretty much everywhere. And so I encourage people to check into that. So if you hear what we're talking about today and you think, gosh, I wish we had it in our area, you probably do.
You just might. Yeah. You very well might. Yeah. Now, you mentioned you consider seniors, did you say 55 and up or 65 and up?
I did say 55 and up.
55.
Isn't that very young?
I was going to say that. And I think it's maybe younger than a lot of people think of seniors as being.
It absolutely is. You know, it's getting there very close for me. And I myself am having trouble thinking of a senior as a 55-year-old. But yes, it's been defined as 55 for a long, long time. And
I think a lot of 55-year-olds would have trouble thinking of themselves as seniors.
But you know, what's interesting about that is, you know, there are, you know, that just highlights the fact that the folks that we are serving have so vast different needs. A 55-year-old is coming to us for services that are very different from somebody in their 80s, for instance. And so it really creates a challenge for us as an organization to how do we, you know, meet all of the needs of all of those different age groups. Oftentimes, the 55-year-old is totally coming to us because they're needing help with a parent that is going through aging things, and they need help and assistance. And education about how to navigate through that system of their parent. And our hope is that through that process, they also learn for themselves so they can better plan for their own aging process. Because one of the things that we see is people have just not planned appropriately for what that looks like.
Right.
People think of retirement, but they don't really think about all the vast components of what is aging. Is my house appropriate for me to live in? What is my transportation options going to be like as I get older and maybe cannot drive any longer? And so, what we love to see is people who are really thoughtful and thinking that through and cleaning out your garage.
Right.
When you're in your 50s, when you have the energy to do that, things like that. I mean, I'm being a little silly about that, but that's just kind of, and so we start at 55 and we have folks that will come in and participate in some things. And then as they age, we see people becoming more and more active and more engaged with us as maybe they retire from work or, things in their life change and they just come to seek more services. And we love to see that happen.
Right. Well, and part of the reason that I ask is that with all of the COVID going on outside, it's drastically changed what you guys have been doing. And not just you, frankly, this has happened to a lot of nonprofit organizations. They were shut down largely through the large part of the pandemic and are just recently opening back up. And I know I have remarked a number of times on how generous the Upstate community is and how much the charities, local charities and service organizations, nonprofit service organizations benefit from that generous spirit that we have here in the Upstate of South Carolina. And when they were shut down, there was a lot of, I know a lot of people were affected by losing jobs, if where they worked had either voluntarily or involuntarily closed, a lot of people got laid off. There was a lot of unemployment. There was a lot of really strife that went along with all of the shutdowns that came with the pandemic. But I feel like there was also a lot of service that went missed from these organizations like Senior Action because you guys were shut down too.
Yeah, and so I think this is where a lot of nonprofits have had to really kind of turn inward a little bit and think, okay, what is the core service that we're really providing? And most of us have had to continue to provide those services. And in some cases, the need for our services has become even greater. So, in our example, we looked and said, okay, well, we have to shut down our buildings. We can't have people in here, exercising and doing art and having classes and things together. So what is the most critical thing that we provide and how can we continue to provide that? So that was when we decided the meals are the most critical thing because we don't know how seniors are accessing food. We don't want them in the grocery store as much as possible. We are particularly, consciously aware of our population is the highest risk group in this whole situation. So we really are trying to be protective of their health. And so that's when in about 3 days, we shifted our focus and we created drive-through meal lines in all 8 of our locations. And so people were able to stay in their cars, drive through, and our staff handed out food to them in a drive-through kind of situation. And we did that starting the middle of March all the way through September. And then we are continuing to do that in 5 of our locations. 3 of our locations we opened up the 1st of September very, very slowly with very, low capacity programming. But, we added so many people that heard about what we were doing and said, we really need the meals. We had folks come through our lines that said, we don't have any food in the house, and this is the only food that we're getting. And I know that what we did was the right thing to do, and I know that we've served a lot of people. We added about 1,000 people to our roles of clients during this whole situation. And so, we also tried to do some other things. So once we kind of dealt with the food situation and said, we think this is the most critical need, and we figured out how to, manage that and do it, Then we sort of turned toward, okay, seniors have a lot of other needs, just as we all do. And they're particularly in a position where they can't adapt as well. And mainly what I'm referring to is technology. I think about all of our school kids, shifted pretty quickly to virtual learning, and college students did that too. And you know, on the entertainment industry, a lot of our TV programs went to a, you know, a Zoom-based, you know, virtual programming format. But the senior population really doesn't have access to technology like that. And if they do, they don't really know how to use it very well. So we found very quickly that communicating with our folks through some kind of digital platform was not effective. And we talked to a lot of people who were coming through our drive-thru lines and asked them, number one, do you have a computer? And you found an alarming number who don't. And then even more concerning was, and I have no desire to have a computer.
Right.
So it's not even that they can afford it necessarily. They just don't want and don't feel like they need a computer in their home. And so, you know, the only way to really reach them is through the telephone. And so we have spent hours and hours and hours checking on people, calling folks, making sure they're okay. But we've tried to put out some interesting content on our Facebook page, like exercise classes, meditation programs, for those who can, you know, access that. But so it became really concerning to us, like, what are people doing in their homes? So we started doing some fun things like activities where they could do coloring contests and crossword puzzles. And we would hand out like a page of, here's some exercises you can do in your home. Because we were very concerned about people being very sedentary and being very isolated and lonely. And, you know, we heard that over and over again from people that they are extremely lonely. And, you know, all they really have is their television in their house. To have contact with another human being, you know, except for our drive-thru line.
Well, and this idea of technology is interesting to me because we've talked on this program for a while about how things have changed societally during this coronavirus pandemic, and specifically with things like working from home. You mentioned kids going to school, the virtual learning that they're doing, kids going to school from home, virtual doctor visits. I mean, we've mentioned a number of times with other guests the telemedicine that was kind of a burgeoning industry before all of this happened, but really has become very popular because it doesn't require you to go to a doctor's office where other sick people might be. And I wonder if that's something. The broader question, I think, is, what have you at Senior Action learned from this experience that you might carry forward in terms of, you know, even after the pandemic is not a going concern, but also is there an effort to help seniors who may be technology averse to actually see the benefit of using newer technology?
Yeah, I mean, exactly. And we, as a matter of fact, we're just working on that this week, that, you know, we've taught computer classes for years. And again, you know, those computer classes are attracting people who are interested in learning how to use a computer.
Sure.
So what we learned through this is we have to change the way we're educating, and we have to help the senior understand why they need to do this. You know, this pandemic has opened their eyes a little bit to, it's almost as if they do not have a choice. Like, I understand their resistance to it, but we have got to have a way to connect with them, whether it's telehealth or just sharing, you know, important information. And so, you know, we've always talked about kind of revising our curriculum and our programming around technology to help them, number one, see there are benefits. You know, we understand that you don't want to learn it or you don't think it's necessary, but here's why it's important. And then the second element of that I'm very concerned about is, and here's how to use it safely. Because, you know, seniors are extremely vulnerable to
identity theft and
fake things.
Yeah. You
know, there's a lot of fake stuff on the internet, and, you know, a lot of, you know, manipulation that can happen through Facebook platforms and social media platforms. And so I'm very concerned about people getting on there and not being confident in how they're using it and potentially opening themselves up for, some kind of.
And perhaps that's where some of that aversion comes from, is just being concerned that it's another way for people to take advantage of them.
I absolutely think that is part of it, for sure. I think there are some that are, you know, this is not, at this point in my life, why do I need to, you know, learn this new thing? But it's not that easy for them to learn. It's not intuitive for a lot of them, as it is for, you know, younger generations who've kind of grown up with it. And, you know, if this conversation, if you and I were having this conversation 5 years from now, we may not even be talking about this. But, you know, the current senior population that we have right now is a generation that, you know, didn't come through the workforce when computers were dominating. the workplace. They didn't have cell phones in their lives and didn't have texting. And, we kind of joke around about this a lot with seniors about, their kids are trying to teach them how to text. And they laugh and they joke about it. But, we are a very text-focused society now.
Yep, sure.
And seniors just aren't on board.
I run a weekly radio, actually a daily, weekdaily radio program, and I can't tell you how many calls that I get from listeners who say, I'm older, I don't have a computer, I can't email, I can't text, just tell the host this or something like that. I'm like, that's not how this works. I'm happy to, in fact, just today I was helping some people who, wanted to know what the text line was or wanted to know what the email address was and things like that. So it is something that seniors can take advantage of, but they've got to want to do it. And like you said, they've got to make sure that they stay safe while they're doing it. And that, I think, is the responsibility maybe of their more tech-savvy children, the same way that their more tech-savvy children are parents and have to keep track of what their kids do online.
That's a great way to say that. I mean, we do need to keep an eye out on it and have a lot of patience and keep an eye out on what are your parents, doing on, these digital platforms and making sure that they understand, what they're doing. And if when you see seniors that are on social media platforms and they're doing what the, quote unquote, the wrong things, that's an opportunity for you to step in and say, hey, this is not the way to do it. And here's why I'm concerned that you're doing it. This is what could potentially happen. Just like you would as you're monitoring, as you say, your kids. You just don't want them to unknowingly do something that they had no idea that they were doing.
You mentioned earlier how vulnerable the population that you serve is to COVID-19, and that's actually something that I was curious about, and I looked it up before we started recording this interview. And in fact, it was a topic that I had covered several weeks ago with another guest. And so these numbers were from July, I think, but still fairly relevant, I believe. And I don't imagine that they've changed much. I was surprised to learn that above 90% of the deaths from COVID-19 are people 55 years and older. In fact, it was part of an article about the misperception of the threat for younger people, that younger people thought they were a lot more susceptible and in a lot more danger from this particular infection than the statistics actually prove that they are. But something like 92%, again, from July figures, 92% of the deaths are people 55 years and older. Are you seeing that perception from the people that you serve, the people that you actually get in touch with? Are they aware of that?
Oh, they're acutely aware of that. The only form of connection to the world is through the news. And so that's, being broadcast over the airways a lot to them. And so to the point of there's a lot of folks that are extremely fearful about that.
Yeah.
And they know that they're higher risk. I think if you went and dug into those statistics even further, because you said 55 and up, if you dug deeper, it trends more towards 75 and up.
60. Yeah, the other number that I saw was 65 and up, and that was 80%. 80%,
right.
Which again, the vast majority, 80% of the deaths from COVID-19 are 65 and older.
Right. And so I do know that some of those numbers, as we've been doing some research, have been from nursing home deaths. There's been a huge disproportionate number of people that are living in assisted living or a nursing home. They've had to put so many measures into place to restrict access to people in nursing homes.
Yes. And to be fair, without hopefully sounding insensitive, these are people that are nearing end of life anyway. And so they're probably going to be more susceptible to just about anything, dying from just about anything, let alone COVID-19.
Absolutely. Yes. There's no doubt that that's the case. And they wouldn't be in those situations if they were, not. But I will say that, there's so many negative outcomes that have happened as a result of all of this. And one of the things that I have seen with, my own eyes, that's just heartbreaking, is people who used to be regular attenders here in our centers, and they would come every day and exercise and just be the, very social people, very engaged folks. Over the course of this 6 months, their bodies have significantly declined. And that is just heartbreaking to us. And we feel like if they had been able to continue in the daily exercise that they were accustomed to, they wouldn't be in that situation. So, we just gosh, we just want so badly to say to folks who are at home, like, they have got to get their bodies up and move. And it's so much more important for the senior citizen, really, than even younger people, because their bodies get very still very easily.
Yeah.
I mean, they could just sit down in a chair and watch a TV show, and you have a hard time getting up after that.
Yeah.
And so if you do that for 6 months, and now you've gone from a person who was a very active participant in the community and had a good quality of life to a person who's now on a walker or, you know, some kind of assistive device because they can't really walk anymore. And so that is just, you know, for folks who are listening who either have a senior parent or who are a senior themselves, I just can't encourage you enough to do something physical to keep your body moving. And again, you know, take a walk in your neighborhood, or even if you can go onto our YouTube or our Facebook, and we have exercise classes that you can do. And some of the classes are in chairs, so they're, you know, pretty easily accessible no matter what your fitness level is. But yep. It's just so important for people to stay and keep their body moving. You know, why they have to stay inside.
Absolutely. I am surprised to look at the clock and see that we have been talking for 20 minutes already. And I am absolutely certain, Andrea, that you could go on for another 20 minutes about this kind of thing. But I want to make sure before we run out of time that we talk about this this regular fundraising event that you have, Dancing with the Carolina Stars, and how that's changing under this COVID situation.
Yeah, so Dancing with the Carolina Stars was a fundraiser that we started in 2010, and it was a great event to really shine a huge spotlight on the senior population in Greenville. And the way we did it was we had local community leaders, members, that we would pair up with professional dancers, and they would learn a routine in the same fashion as the television show.
Right.
And it's been a great event. People have loved coming. It's just a great night of fun and entertainment and food and all of those things. Well, as a matter of fact, tomorrow would have been our 11th Dancing with the Stars, but we had to cancel.
And I should point out that tomorrow means September 26th. The people might not
correct.
Be hearing this at a time when tomorrow is actually that date, but September 26th is when it was originally scheduled for, but that
correct.
Clearly isn't going to happen at this point.
That's right. So we had to cancel because of the coronavirus, and because that is the only fundraiser that we do during the course of the year, it's clearly taking a pretty big hit for the loss of that income. And so we have kind of be creative. We issued a challenge to all the dancers that have danced in the past to see if they would commit to helping us raise some money and hopefully try to raise the amount of money that we would have made if we had the event. So they're all out there hitting the pavement trying to help us raise some money. So we would love the support from the community to help us make that back, because that's a big hit to our operating budget. And again, it's the only one we have during the year. You know, we talked about already that we had to shut down, but we haven't stopped serving people. And as a matter of fact, the need and the people
yep.
who've come out,
that still costs money.
Hasn't changed, right? And it costs a lot of money. So again, it was heartbreaking to cancel the event, but again, we're not alone in that. A lot of nonprofits have had to do that.
I understand. I should point out that I am not one of your dancers. I have not been a dancer, and the community is probably better for it, frankly. But I did hear about...
we need to change that, Chris.
Well, maybe. I'm not saying I'm unconvincible, but it just hasn't happened yet. But I heard about your plight, and I at least wanted to see if I could help out. If other people listening have heard about this and want to make a donation, how do they do that?
Well, we have... the best way right now is to go to our Dancing with the Stars Facebook page. There is a link to a GoFundMe site, but they can go click on that and make a donation that way. They can also click on our Senior Action website, and there's a donate button, which is probably even easier.
So, and what is the website URL?
It's senioraction.org.
Senioraction.org, and there is a donate button on that page.
Right on the main screen. You can click that donate button, and you can do it there.
If people want to donate their time rather than their money, what kind of volunteer opportunities do you have?
Well, our volunteer opportunities are starting to get a little bit better. We had to limit volunteers during all the for safety reasons, but we have opened 3 of our centers back up, and we do need help serving some of those food. We're still serving meals out in the drive-thru, and we're also trying to run the programs and classes. So if people would like to volunteer and have some time on their hands, we'd love to have their help. They can call Senior Action at 467-3660, and we can talk to people about what opportunities we have available. We have a lot. So that would be great. We'd love to have people helping. But, you know, another thing, Chris, that I would just love to throw out there to folks is, you know, if you can't come to Senior Action volunteer, or that's just not on your to-do list, or not something that you can do at the moment, I would just encourage everybody to look at the folks that live on their street, in their neighborhood, people maybe they know through church, and reach out to some of the seniors that you know and make sure that they're getting things that they need, groceries, and who knows what else need they may have. But you know, I think if our community really opens up the front door and looks around, you might find people living their own street that really could use your help. And I just would encourage folks to think about that too.
And that could be the case even if there weren't a pandemic going on.
That's true.
So 467-3660 is how you can call Senior Action. You can also go to their website, senioraction.org. Andrea Smith, the Executive Director of Senior Action, has been my guest today. Thank you very much for being here.
Thanks for having me, Chris. This is fun. It just flew by.
Well, thank you very much. It always does. As I'm amazed. I tell my guests before we start, this is going to go faster than you think it does. And it has with you. Thank you again, Andrea Smith, Executive Director of Senior Action. I'm Chris Evans, and this has been Focus on the Upstate.
You've been listening to Focus on the Upstate with Chris Evans. If you would like more information on today's topic, email Chris at cevans@intercom.com.